This is Gordon W2, Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. I am mobile tonight from the southern reaches of the extreme southern reaches of the New Jersey Turnpike, returning home from a day trip to Arlington, Virginia. So, real quick, are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, that's always a good sign. All right, my next request is, are there any stations with the capability of taking down the attendance and any notes that might come out of the net tonight? I'd appreciate it if that could be done. I'll try to keep track of it in my head, but it's better if we have a scribe. Are there any volunteers? Please call K2BAR. Uniform through Sierra. Okay, Randy, are you happily volunteering? And you're just a... maybe it was just my ears, but you sounded like your audio was a little low, but if you're volunteering, that'd be great. Thank you.
This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra. That is affirmative. I'll take the notes. Over.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much in advance and et cetera. Alrighty. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is run weekly on a frequency of 146.955. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL for this repeater is 141.3. Is a minus 600 kilohertz offset. Minus 600 kilohertz for the repeater offset. And again, the frequency is 146.955. The purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, underlying technologies, and sciences that drive the hobby. It's also about what we do with it, what we have done with it, what we'd like to do with it, how we've served others, how we've improved our own understanding of things. Also, you know, things we've done before. Doesn't have to be, we can talk about things we've done before. We can talk about things we aspire to do in the future. We can also talk about things we never want to do again. And trust me, if you've been a ham long enough, there's lots of stuff you never want to do again. At least in the way you did it. Hi. So, we also check in kind of funny here. We'll do it in a orderly way, going by call sign groups. I do break the K's into K2s and then everybody else. So if you're not a K2 when I call for K2s, okay, but you are a K, just hold on. We'll get to you in good time. You check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, a for sale swap or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You also might wonder, well, if I have nothing to add or nothing to ask, why would I check in? Well, that helps us gauge how we need to phrase the net. It also tells us that you're there in case we have a question for you, which you may not want to answer, but we don't embarrass people, so it's fairly safe bet. If you want to just check in, just to check in, we'd really appreciate it. It helps us. So with no further ado, let's go to the whiskey stations. Please call T2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted items, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Over.
WI2W, we have a question and a comment.
K2BAR.
BC, no traffic.
K2BAR. Jim in Pearl River, New York, just listening. K2BAR. W2NPR. Hector with A1.
Okay, I'm not sure if that was three or four stations. I have WITW, the question, the comment. I have W10PR with a want. I have, oh geez, somebody else just before him, and I just can't remember who it was. And the station right after Steve, and I don't know if that was someone double teaming or what, but let's get that straightened out first. Those three or four stations, do we have those right?
WA2QBC, no traffic. WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, just listening.
All right, I got Jim and Bruce. Got it. Okay. Any other whiskeys?
2JEK, Don, just listening.
Okay, Don, thank you very much. Last call for whiskeys.
2S, Randy.
I didn't catch that last one. Did you, Randy?
Sorry, yeah, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township. No comments.
I thought that was you, okay. Yeah, sometimes the echo link gets a little lower in the audio. I mean, you gotta kinda keep the phone suitably placed. Alrighty, any other whiskeys?
W2LCN. Just listening in tonight, but if we get a little quiet, I will have a comment regarding the rest of this weekend.
Okay, good evening, Rick. Any other whiskeys?
WB2UOD, George, just listening.
Okay, George, got you too. Welcome aboard. We haven't heard you in a very long time. Anybody else with a whiskey? Okay, Kilo Twos, Kilo Twos.
Tony?
Okay, any other kilos?
Just listening.
Okay, I got that Howie, K2EIR, just listening. Any other Kilo Twos?
That's Tony, K2AMI, just listening. No comments.
Okay, that's Tony. I got Tony. Any other Kilo Twos? Okie dokie. How about all the other kilos?
K2BAR, this is Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Room Whiskey, Kai, no comments. Back then.
Okay, good evening, Kai. KB2TRW. Thank you for joining us, Kai. Kai is KAI, by the way, Randy, if you don't know. Kilo Alpha India. And he lives in Dumas. Last I checked, anyway. Alrighty, any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta India, go.
82DIG, W2, TTT, K2BAR. What are your intentions for the net, sir?
Good evening, Gordon. Very good. My name is Don from Massapequa. It's been a while since I listened, and that's my intent tonight, just to listen and learn. 82DIG.
Welcome aboard, Don. Good to hear you again. I always liked your call, by the way. Alrighty. Are there any further kilos? All right, let's go to the Novembers. We haven't done the Novembers yet. Let's go to them.
Good evening, Gordon. Handle here is John. QTH is Northern Westchester. Call is November 2, November, Bravo, Romeo.
Good evening, John. Good to hear you. Maybe we'll hear you tomorrow for the CBS retirees net at 9 o'clock. Alrighty, I'll be on vacation tomorrow. Alright, any other Novembers? Alrighty, none heard. How about Alphas? Any
station. Please call KGBAR.
AA2WP, Willie P, just listening.
AC2GI, Rich, just listening.
I got two stations out of that. AA2WP, just listening, and AA2GI, Rich, just listening. There's a third station in there, I don't know who it was.
AC2T, just lurking.
Okay, the third station was Alpha Charlie 2 Tango, and that was Paul. So we have Rich AA2GI, we have AC2T, and my brain is slipping already, can't remember who that was, pardon me on. Anyway, very good. I'm better off not looking at the display on this phone. Holding it up is anywhere near my face, gives me a bright sunlight and makes me yawn, sort of like when you stare at the sun in the middle of the day. It kind of makes you yawn sometimes. Alrighty. Any other stations? I don't see any on Echolink. Are there any other stations, any call sign whatsoever, wishing to check into the Bird and Amateur Radio Association Technical Net? Please call K2BAR.
KD2GGR, William
and T-Nex. I didn't get that call sign. KD2 something.
KD2GGR, Golf Golf Romeo. Just listening tight.
Got it. KD2 Golf Golf Romeo. Is that you, Chris? Am I picking up on a new call?
No, not Chris. It's William. Been at New Ham, actually. Well, not New Ham. April. Been on this with you guys a few times. Missed probably last month.
Oh, a thousand pardons, William. Okay, very good. Well, welcome to Ham Radio, and hopefully we can help you. And if you do decide you have a question later on, or want to make a comment, or have a question about a topic that we bring up, or one of the other stations brings up, feel free to break in and with a phrase question. And if I miss it, Randy will keep me honest, because I'm on Echolink. I'm at the low end of the turnpike here, at mile 20, by the way. Alrighty, with no further ado, WI2W. Oh, actually, no, before you do that, Steve, I'm sorry. Let's get the want item done. W2NPR, Hector, what is your quest? K2BAR.
K2BAR, W2NPR. Good evening, everybody. My want, I'm looking for a communications receiver. Or a something along the lines of an ICOM 728, 725, 735, and a VHF UHF scanner, 50 channel, 100 channel. Portable would be nice. Nothing that has the trunk tracking technology or the grouped memory banks like a lot of the newer scanners have today. It must receive airband. The communications receiver, if it has VHF capability, must also have the ability to receive AM aircraft band. So if there's anything you guys have that you may want to sell, and it's in 100% operating condition, my email address is goodonqrz. You can use that one, and maybe we can do something. So let me know what you have, in round numbers, what you're looking for, and we'll see if we can't make a deal. Otherwise, we'll be here listening on. We'll be here listening to the net, and we'll chime in with a comment if we necessary. So, with that, back to net. K2BAR, W2NPR.
Okay, very good, Hector. I may actually have a scanner that meets your needs. I have to check to see if it does aircraft, but it's small. It is not a handheld portable, but it does run on 12 volts. And I think with the usual, you know, 2.5 millimeter connector, coaxial connector on the back, so, or 2.1, I forget, but anyway. I will check, and I will email you, and if that does not work, if I do have such a thing, I will reach out to you by tomorrow, and worst case is we can either get together tomorrow night, or probably more likely at the Hamfest, but just assume not too much of anything tomorrow except what's required by law and or family logistics. But that's good. Very good. That's an interesting thing. By the way, you might consider also something like the TS-140, TS-680 kind of radio. They're relatively inexpensive, and they were multi-mode, like what you were looking for HF and VHF, or well, for the 680 does VHF up to 60 megahertz, if I remember right. But anyway, it's all good, and they have general coverage receivers, is my point. So, good. Anybody else have anything they want to say to Hector before we move on? This is K2BAR. Thank you, Hector. WI2W, Steve, your comment and your question, in that order, please, unless you have a reason to change it. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is WI2W. Evening, everybody. Nice size Hector. I sent you an email. I have an ICOM R7000. My comment, I got my new QST a few days ago, and I saw an article or application for a smartphone called APRS Droid. And I've never really done a lot with APRS, the automatic reporting system, burning a car. I did spend one very enjoyable afternoon on top of High Point with Gordon, scouting out a location back at event. By the way, go back and was successful. So I downloaded this application called APRS Droid to my smartphone. I paid the $5, although I think you can get it for somehow, but I... after a little bit of configuration, turn the GPS on the phone, let it find my location. I sent an email away, and they sent me back a password. I used it to track my journey in the automobile from my sister's house in Mahwah to my house here. But what's interesting about that is that the GPS of the phone, you know, formatted the incorrectly and sent it through the data network on the phone system onto the internet, a website called ars.fi. Very, very inexpensive way to get the tracking if that's what you're riding a bicycle on occasion. Thing turned on in my bicycle, and as well cell phone coverage, when there is ride, it will report my position to a laptop opened up on the tracking. Find out what bar it's I just thought that was kind of neat. I'll drop it here. And
question?
Go ahead, question.
K2BAR, AC2GI. Does that use much of your data when you do that from your plan back to net?
I don't know if it does or not, because I only used it when another way that you can use that application is by hooking the smartphone with an audio cable, and HT would need to have box, voice-operated switch cable. That do that are the Baofeng UV3R and the UV5R. They both have box, and I think the 5R can be had for about $35 on Amazon. Then you wouldn't use... you can also use the application to send messages. It's a full-featured APRS terminal. So if I wanted to communicate with somebody, I could type a short message with my location communicate. So it's pretty full-featured. To do this otherwise would require, you know, a radio and or a dedicated, very. I was pretty enamored by how functional it was for hours and 99 cents.
Okay, so it has an audio output and audio input capability, not just a data port, so you can configure it to use the whatever internet connection you have, meaning your network data or your Wi-Fi or theoretically Bluetooth, I guess, as a communications device to get off the phone. You also use audio to get it off the phone or the Android device itself. Is that right, Steve?
That is correct. You can hear it to use the output on the phone, go directly into the thing. When I was using it, I don't believe there's a lot of information trimmed in. You know, it only beaconed about 10 times for the 20 watts, so short bursts of data out of it use up much gas.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. One thing to think about is that you can, as you said, the Bialfungs and the Ushans will certainly do it because they have Vox, but the radio interface from which they were patterned, THF6, and maybe other Kenwood radios will do that as well, because I know they have a Vox capability built into the radio. So I'm not so sure I want to use a $300 handy doggy as a packet interface, but God knows I have plenty of Bialfungs. Only one Ushan left. My 220 Ushan got beat up. But yeah, I think APRS Droid is a good idea. By the way, let's consider this. If you're going to use it in the audio mode or the Wi-Fi mode, you know, through some other either, you know, RF connection or network connection, you can use an old phone. If you have an old Android phone that you don't love, it can become your APRS unit. It has a GPS and it has the interface necessary to make it go. So you take that and an old HT with Vox, or if you have a Wi-Fi connection to some other network that you can get into, you know, more power to you. You're all fat, so you can use an old phone too. So consider that. Now, where you might want to use, let's say, your home Wi-Fi might be if you're transmitting weather data from a weather station in your home, and you have a serial interface, you take that in, it puts it in, formats it in the standard APRS weather format and puts it, you know, into your Android device running APRS Droid, and it'll spit it out across your Wi-Fi and then out your household internet, so that way you can send weather information or even security information or whatever else you want by APRS. So APRS Droid is a really, really powerful tool. Steve, I'm going to hand it back to you, and why don't you manage the rest of this dialogue and see if anybody else has any questions or comments on this topic, and you can bring it to ground when you're ready. I'll just stand by to speed things up since I'm on the Echo Link. WIGW, T2BAR.
Okay, that's really all I have to say about it. I'm new to dabbling, and my initial application is just to leave it in my pocket as I ride my bicycle, so I'm back here at the house. So if anybody wanted to see what that looks like, you can go to www.aprs.fi. And in the upper right-hand corner, there's a box. You can type a call sign, attached identifier to it. So you, my call sign is WMI2W-5, and do my track. So anybody have any questions? Over.
Could you repeat that link, Steve?
Sure. It's www.aprs.fi, Foxtrot India. Hi.
QSL.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, so Gordon, I'll move on to my question then, if that's okay.
don't know a station's SSID, but you do know their call sign, you can enter the call sign into the search box. And so that way, all of the devices under their domain will show up. There's also a time frame box. There's last 24 hours, last several hours, 24, 48 last week, etc. So if you want to track the goings on from a particular device or set of devices for a time period, you can do that. So today you have Steve's ride to Mahwah or from Mahwah. He takes another ride in a different direction tomorrow, and you set it up to show me the last couple of days. You enter WITW because you weren't sure what device he had with him. He has dash 5, but maybe say tomorrow he takes dash 3. You just enter WITW. It will show the dash 5 from today and the dash 3 from tomorrow, if there were such a thing. And it'll show them as different devices, different tracks on different days. It's really kind of neat. So, Steve, I'm going to throw it back to you. You can absorb any other questions or make any other comments on this. You ask your question. WITW, KTBAR.
Very good, Gordon. This is WITW. A question for you, Gordon. Did you use APRF in support of the bicycle run the other week here?
This year we did not. We normally do, as you know, and we made a value judgment not to because the amount of available labor to manage that for the bike ride was significantly compromised by the simultaneity and overlap for a bunch of days of the Passaic County Fair. So we decided that we were going to keep it simple, and we did, and it all worked out just fine. Could always use more hams in the sag wagons, but we made some adjustments, and it all worked very, very well. As did the fair, but that was, in fact, the way it was. We also were initially holding back those tracking devices in case we needed them for the buses. This year, because of the way we set things up and the way things were being managed, both from a incident management perspective, as well as the paratransit bus supervisor being on task and present for all 4 days of the fair during all operational hours and afterwards, we did not need them, but we were not quite sure we would. And we, on Wednesday, we thought about it as a contingency yet again, and of course that was fine, and they would have been deployed had Thursday not gone well or Friday not gone well, but each day actually got better, and each day was actually, even from the start, the buses were pretty good, so no problems whatsoever. In past, the buses have done things like left and not been in service when they should have been, drivers were being paid. They just magically would disappear, and that was a problem. And then another is that 2 years ago we had a bus catch fire, brake fire, and really made a mess. So the good news is that we had enough video surveillance and on-the-route surveillance and management that none of that was necessary. So back to you, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. On to my question. First, I have a quick question. Is Rich AC2GI, are you still on frequency?
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, you just might be interested in hearing the answer to this. So, the question is about the popular these days, one unbalanced, popularized by the Hawaii Emergency Intercom, and they sell such devices.
Fundraiser.
They've been popular in the Barra group. And I built one a couple years ago, a little toroid, 2, which is an iron outer toroid. You find a 9-to-1 unit on it, pretty full. And then you hook a random wire up to it of a non-resonant lens, carry it with something around 30 feet, 0.6 feet, table of other lenses, like, et cetera. There's also another website and company called Ballon Design. They sell 3 different flavors for the same purpose. They have a handy little chart that shows you wire length and part. One difference being that Ballon Designs does not use the Type 2 ferrite core. They have a proprietary mix, not a dash 2. So my question is, I've built one of these things. I've used it on Portable Day a couple times. I've always run it with an antenna tuner, an external LDG antenna. I've run it from 10 to 40 meters with the external tuner, and contacts with it seemed acceptable. Recently, Rich, ACTGI, was interested in building some for him and his buddies. And so I took mine out in the field the other day and run it up and then an analyzer on. Not like what I saw. I found SWRs in the sort of 6, and that was with 25 or 50 feet of coax. Tried a couple different wire lengths. Internal tuner on my TS-480 would not tune 40 meters, and depending upon the length of the wire, wouldn't tune some of the other bands. That's not surprising since the 480 has a limit of 3-to-1 UR. But I was not enamored with the performance, so a long way around to the question, is there anybody out here that's built in or bought and used these things that can comment on their performance? I was not overwhelmed with performance. Recently, I tried another approach I'm happier with, but I'm just curious what folks think about so open for questions.
Well, Steve, I'll just tell you straight out, I bought one of those really nice, large, I forget what the company is, but the guy makes that, has that, you know, gray, you know, NEMA 3R, you know, utility box. And I didn't like it either. I thought it was just not working. Now, Jim has said that he liked it, K2ZO. I'm just kind of curious. Did you not like the one from the Emergency Amateur Radio Club of Hawaii, or didn't like the one with the proprietary mix? I'm kind of curious about that. And if one works and one doesn't with a given wire length, and given coax length, I'm kind of puzzled over that. It'd be fairly easy to reverse engineer the permeability and other characteristics of the quote proprietary material. No one in at least in our world has the financial wherewithal to have a proprietary mix. They have an undisclosed mix. Maybe, but somebody's making them by the bucket load, and they're using them unmarked, and then just not saying what it is. And you know, more power to them. But it'd be fairly easy to figure out. Did you try changing the length of the coax? That would be my point. And oh, by the way, I'm now using 3070 or some other combination OCF dipoles. I need a antenna of that type, because usually the short side length is so small that it's of no consequence and loads up a whole lot more reliably. WITW, K2BAR.
K2BAR, AC2GI.
The mix that I've been using is the same one that the Hawaii group, the Dash 2 powder.
Okay, well, so you're using the Hawaii one. All right, well, I forget what the other one is. It's a really big, high-power jobby. I wasn't thrilled with the performance. It was hard to load. I got it to load, but it still was just a piece of garbage. By the way, I'm just above exit 5 on the turnpike, and I'm starting to see the repeater come through and hear it a little bit on the receivers. Here in the mobile, I just want you to know that it really really, it's almost copyable continuously, still getting wiped out by the occasional tractor trailer or hillside. So back to you, Steve. WIQW, K2BAR.
I would love to get my hands on one of the balanced versions. Something other than the iron powder, if you use a ferrite, it's going to be more losses. And that loss will translate into a lower SWR presented to the coax. That might be a good thing. I don't know. But I just haven't been overly impressed with it. Anybody else out there have any experience?
Is it 2GI? Steve, did you try it with any kind of radios?
I did not try with radios. I did try several different coax, from 25 feet up to 50 feet, a couple in between. The one that I built, I just put a
because as I told you, I do have one of the store-bought ones. I do have ground radios with isolators in the coax. And I've been extremely happy with mine. Mine's a 53-footer from that same company that Gordon had, the 20-foot without the ground radio.
I don't believe that uses a Dash 2 mix. I looked that up. That was the Ultimat. I looked that up, and some of the guys were complaining powering to them. There were no powers, and they watched the SWR go up. The Type 2 mix is pretty forgiving, lasted with a couple of kilowatts. But ferrite, ferrite cores are much more sensitive because of ice.
Alright, well, I dug out that other one to bring to Kid Knight on the second.
Alright, well, we'll feed you a couple glasses of water, and then when you have to go over and open up, we'll find it inside. Anyway, that's it, Gordon. Nobody else needs to comment. Tony, K2AMI, you have one of these, I just remember. Have you been using it at all?
Here again is Tony K2AMI. No, I have not put it in use since initial tests, and at the time of initial tests, it seemed to be okay. It was neither the Hawaiian Radio Club or any other aforementioned brand. It was sold on the internet. Has a wing nut on the side, which you can add a length that should be a counterpoise length for the frequency that you're using. Reports when I did use it, either horizontally or vertically, were pretty favorable on the Barra 2 10-meter net that we've run. I did not check it with an SWR bridge, though, or a analyzer. Back to net.
All right. Well, 10 meters is an easy band because short wire, but I was unable to get it to map. All right, Gordon, back to you, the K2AR. Thank you, WI2W.
Okay, Steve, Rich, Tony, thank you very much. You know, it boggles my mind, and that's the right word, boggles my mind, or phrase, I should say, that we would have an end-fed wired ballon that is highly lossy and a pain in the ass to wind, and have to run a second wire that's resonant off of it in order to make it work. And while I will say that Jim K2ZO was singing the praises of this thing recently, you know, maybe as recently as a month and a half ago, I don't share his joy, and I share your frustration. And if you're going to run the second wire, then hell's bells, get a 3-to-1 ballon, a 4-to-1 ballon, and just simply run an OCF. It's a 30-70 or whatever your proportion, you know, a flavor that you like. I mean, good God. I mean, the short line on an OCF is not so long as to be inconvenient. It's really actually very convenient. So that's what I would, if you need multiple band capability and you want to throw a wire in the air and blah, 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 then an OCF, a 4-to-1 ballon is probably better. I will say this, and I cannot emphasize this enough. No matter what of these antennas you choose to use, using one of those lovely line isolators down by your radio is really important, because chances are you're relatively close to your antenna, and so you're going to get a lot of RF floating around in all sorts of weird and strange places. And I find one of those simple choke balance is just, at the peak point, at the back of the radio is a really, really good idea. So, WITW in the group, anybody else have any comments about this? W2TTT. Okay, nothing heard. And you can hear some audio feedback. I'll turn that down. I'm 2 miles south of the Woodrow Wilson service area. Milepost 55.9 or 56, so let me call it. Very good. So I'm making good time. No idea what my distance to home is, but it's probably in the 40-odd mile range. So that's a good thing. Anyway, anybody else have any, do we have another... We wanted to have somebody else had a comment or a question for the net tonight. I don't remember who it is. Randy, can you keep me honest? W2S, Q2BAR.
W2W with another comment.
Okay, I don't hear Randy now. Were there any other stations with questions or comments that we have not covered yet? Or if you want, you can pop on in now with one. This is K2BAR.
WA2UMB.
Mr. Jim, WA2UMB. Your ball, K2BAR.
Yeah, hi, Gordon. I was intrigued by you said a choke ballon near the receiver. I do have a problem with RF feedback with my indoor antennas, and was wondering if you could tell me a bit more about that. Can that be made out of winding coax, or is that a separate device? I haven't had the need to use one, but I found on 40 meters, if I turn the power up on my ICOM 7000, it will shut down the transceiver. Doesn't happen on other bands. But it's a function of having an indoor antenna with all that RF feedback. So I wonder if you could just describe that device.
Sure can. It's one or more cycles of coax run through a series of cores. So you take a stack of cores that are maybe 6 or 8 or even a foot long, and you can stick your RG8 through it, or RG8X or 59, or whatever you're using, and away you go. However, if you use something like the Teflon equivalent of RG174, you can get 2 loops through that same set. It gives you 4 times as much isolation, and that's kind of cool. And yes, if you get 3, it's 9, and if you get 4, it's 16. But anyway, the point is that depends on how much power you want to run. But Jim's run through the Teflon, like UT141. So I think he's run 2 or 3 turns of that through a stack of cores, and that pretty much keeps the RF from floating back into the radio down the outside of the coax, and therefore getting onto your, chassis, and therefore off your mic return lead or your computer leads or, your key and everything else. So, yeah, that's basically the concept, okay?
Okay, sounds interesting. I'll Google it. Now, I use a medium with coax. You mentioned RG like 174, and of course I don't use anything that thin on the transmit side. I use it's something the wireman sells. It's a little bit, a notch bigger than the RG59, but not real thick. Is that going to work fit within this core?
Comment.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And you can always get, you know, cores with larger centers. So, you know, and you're probably using RG8X. But what Jim uses, he uses Teflon, the Teflon equivalent of RG174. I forget. I mean, you know, you don't want to use RG174. You know, at any kind of real high power, even 100 watts can do really some strange things, especially if there's a lot of, you know, SWR, or, you know, stray capacitances and inductances out there. So you may not want to do that, but if you have a Teflon version of that, that works pretty well. You better get fatter cores and run the loops through, but you can run it straight through. I mean, you just literally run it straight through, get small, tiny cores, you know, that are just big enough to wrap on the outside of the coax before you put the connector on it, and just run like a stack of a foot of them together, and, you know, either tape them together or use heat shrink tubing over top of the whole assembly, and you're good to go, and that'll work very, very well. Lori?
Comment?
Go ahead.
This is WITW. How much extra coax do you have?
Oh, geez, very little. I don't really. I have an apartment, so I keep very little inventory. I mean, I could always order it.
Well, if you had some extra coax, you could wind a choke coil out of the coax. A particularly effective for 40 meters would be 25 turns of RG58 on a 4.25-inch core, air core, like a PVC pipe, and that'll give you over 4,000 ohms of 40 meters of problem. If, in fact, the RF is coming back down the coax, it had an indoor antenna, so it might be coming down the microphone line or the headphone line, or your lines, or your power supply lines. Unless you have a way to measure RF current, you don't know where it's getting into the radio. And Gordon's suggestions with the ferrite cores and wind coax, times you can wind it through opening the beat, goes up by the square of the number of turns you can get through. Anyway, back to that. K2VARWITW.
Question? Yeah, okay, very good, Steve. Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is that you're using essentially a 50-foot package of RG58 as your, or 8X, whatever, as your core, and it's pretty bulky. They also are sold pre-made in little PVC sleeves as line isolators. That's the other euphemism. So I'm sure MFJ sells one. There are a couple others. The Wireman sells one. But line isolator is the other. And you know, they have a SO239 on each end. Some have a PL259, a pigtail on the bottom end, so, although it doesn't matter which way you install it, other than the fact that you're stressing the cable, but if it has the pigtail on the bottom. But all good, and as Steve said, you can always roll up some coax, 25 turns, about 6 or 8 inches in diameter, and you're all set. Yeah, keep in mind, though, that you're gonna chew 50 feet of coax pretty quick doing that. And it gets heavy if you try to, if you need it to be elevated in the air, that's a whole other conversation for another day. But anyway, it's all good. So, anything else, Jim? WATUMP, K2BAR.
No, it sounds good. Sounds interesting. I will Google it and get some practical ideas and suggestions and price out. I may just go with something like an MFJ and save myself the trouble. But we'll see what's available, and I do appreciate the all of the information.
very good. Alrighty. Are there any other questions or comments for the net that we had on the list and don't remember right now, or if anyone want to add one to the list, please call K2BAR.
WI2W.
Hi, Steve. We'll get you in a second. I just want to also remind everyone that the Ramapo Mountain Amateur Radio Club is hosting a hamfest on Saturday, and that hamfest is at Camp Faritans, which is at the bottom entrance, I think it's either gate 4 or 5, of William Patterson University. So to come off of Hamburg Turnpike, come down the hill along past gate 1, blah blah blah, when you get to the last gate on your left, you go toward that, and as you, just before you enter the gates of the campus, you'll see a second gate next to it for Camp Veritans, and should be marked Hamfest too. So usual 7-8 in the morning type stuff, and runs till about noontime. There will be indoor displays, and K2KJI will be there. I happen to know that, and so hopefully we'll see you there. Alrighty. Steve, it's your ball. WI2W, K2BAR.
Yeah, this is just a follow-up for Jim. Another approach to the RF choking problem is toroidal core and just wrap a 12-string coax through it. A commercial version can be found at Balance Design, UN.com. Have a, what they call a RP balance, but for about 300 watts, which should handle your IC7000 just fine. And it's model number 1110U. Again, that's 1110U. You might want to check that out. It's very compact, has an SO, and you can pop over, so you wouldn't be just a price on it. About, anyway, that's it. I'll be quiet. I've been talking all night. Sorry, WIGW.
Okay, thanks for the suggestion. Yes, I've seen Ballon Designs products. They look like they're pretty well designed. I've spoken with them before. I have the model number 1110U, and I'll take a look.
Okie dokie, very good. And sounds like a good approach. Alrighty. Are there any other questions, comments, confusions, wanted items, for sale swap ball items, experience items, whatever people would like to mention? Please call K2BAR. Alright, everybody. I just want to thank everybody for coming to the net tonight. A really good crowd, great questions, a lot of fun. I just wanted to follow up the earlier question about APRS. At the fair, we used a lot of video cameras from a lot of different sources, and we had three different public safety systems. We had the, you've probably seen the cop in a box, the thing that looks like a scissor lift with a little cab in top, up top with a place for an officer and a bunch of cameras. Well, we were using that without the officers, we were doing it remotely. And we had the Mobile Pro systems, we had two of the Mobile Pro systems from the state, they're kind of distributed to counties, but so we have the two Passaic County systems that are run by the prosecutor's office, and we had two of a different system called Net Vision from the county sheriff's office. Each of these had two or more cameras in their systems. Each one had a different user interface, which was very entertaining to use. And then we also had some mesh cameras that just ran and ran and ran all weekend long, and we had a really good time with them. They
Steve and through USK, and I both have 8905 thought scans, and we set them up, and they really worked very, very well. And because they were not dependent on the cell network for either the uplink or the downlink, and the way they were set up, we were able to have a much more stable connection and more reliability. What was the trade-off was that we didn't have recording on the ham ones, although we're going to work on that, and we didn't have pan tilt zoom, but we can work on that too just by getting a different camera. So very exciting adventure, really interesting, and the broadband ham, that stuff is coming along very, very nicely, and was used because it was used, we were able to spot problems and get people over to places that where they needed to be, not just law enforcement, but also other operational requirements, and like the way the buses were moving or where the people were, you know, approaching or breaking down barriers.
Repeater. Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
Oh, dear. I timed out the repeater. I apologize. So anyway, we were able to get eyes. Since we had eyes all over the fair area and the access roads and stuff, we were able to intervene and communicate to a ham who would grab a bunch of fair people and get them out there and make sure that the public was safe and things like that. And a couple of cases, we had a law enforcement issue. Got that squared away, too. So it's all good. Pardon the timeout. Anybody else have anything else for the net, please call K2B Air. Alrighty, well, I want to thank everyone for a lively and interesting net tonight, and look forward to hearing you all in the future. And my summer adventures, where I spend a lot of time away, is going to take a pause now. Finally, I'll be home for quite a while, so the next bunch of Thursday nights should be just fine for a long period of time. So I want to thank everybody who pitched in and ran the nest in my absence this summer, and you know, encourage any of you to pick up the net. If there's no one picking it up, don't assume that someone else will. You can be that person. Take the initiative and run the net. Running a net and getting it moving is all good. And I do want to point out that we have a ComTech email group. It's called ComTech Group, in one word, COM, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech Group at yahoo.com. If you email me at w2ttt@att.net, I can hook you up if you can't find the ComTech group on Yahoo Groups. And there you'll find all sorts of references to things we discussed on the net, as well as things we didn't discuss on the net that you're welcome to participate in. A lot of it is operational, some of it's technical, some of it is, you know, how do I do this, where can I find that, or isn't this a cool product? Or isn't this something interesting to think about, et cetera? So, with no further ado, thank you again for your participation. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club and the Bergen Amateur Radio Association for A, the use of the repeater, and B, for hosting the net. Godspeed and take care. This is W2TTT, Claire.
W2TTT, A2WP.
A2WP, W2TTT. Yes, Willie V, what's going on?
Oh, I just didn't know if you were in repeater range or not. I had recorded a clip